Thank you, Pascal.
Thank you. Friends, this morning it gives me great joy to minister the Word of God to you as my deacons collect the cups. I just want to ask a question. Does anybody know, especially of the older members, what the date is today? I'm not speaking of aged people. I'm speaking of older members of this church. Today is the 15th of December. The 15th of December. Any significance of that date? Not? For myself and my family, we got a call, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning, that we got a call from Brighton Baptist Church 7 years ago on the 15th of December to extend an official call to us to come to Australia. I don't think that you would remember, but to us, that was a significant day in our lives. That was a significant time. And for many, I do believe there's days and time that nobody else will remember but you. Today is such a day, not just for us, but for you. Today is such a day that today you can, your whole life can change. Like we were laying in bed that morning, I was still laying like this. Was I laying like this? Oh, I was laying like that. Yeah. If a thief comes in our home, man, he's got to take everything because I won't get, it's an ugly sight. But I was laying like that when that call came. The reason why I tried to bring this picture with you is so that you remember a day and a time that only you remember. And that day is Christ's day. That day is the day when the Lord made the difference in your life like he did 7 years ago for us. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about that. Not just that. I know that many of you are jealous because I'm the pastor and I'm baptizing my youngest daughter today. Man, I'm excited. But let me get to the Word of God. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, the Lord has really just spoken to me, and I'm not going to operate with that note system anymore like I used to. Was it a problem? But this morning's word, Andrew, can we just get the Word of God on there again? Luke chapter 1. Now, 2 weeks ago, I ministered on when Mary walked into the room where Elizabeth was. Amen? Anybody remember that story? And what happened when Mary walked into the house? The Bible teaches me that John the Baptist, who was in a belly at the time, jumped. The Bible teaches that Zechariah says that he will be anointed even before he was born. And that is what happened. The Bible teaches me that God knows your name even before you were born. Did you know that? Imagine, Uncle Jeff, you were called Jeffrey, Arnold, Sylvester. Come on, put it out there. 115 names, but you got to carry the family name before you were born. I'm excited about that, man. Now, there's a piece there that I read, and I had a bit of a chuckle to myself. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order the narrative of those things which have been fulfilled amongst us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us. Verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first time to write to you as an orderly account of most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Full stop. Now, friends, the reason why I had to read that whole portion is because many of us, when we come into a place, people need to know who you are. Like my brother that introduced himself, he had to say he's from Durban. Now, for most Australians, that doesn't mean anything. But for Johan, it meant a lot. Because hey, there's this thing that happens there in the South African clan that only they would understand. But he had to say where he's from, so that people can understand when he says next, what he says next, it has meaning. What Zechariah did next, what the Bible says, who they are. They had to tell their names, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And then it says they were both anointed. Now, friends, it's a very long story, but I want to say to you this morning, no matter who you are, as anointed as you are, you might have trouble in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Only my brother heard me over there. The rest didn't hear me. No matter how anointed you might be, no matter who you are, no matter who your parents are, you might have trouble in your life. This anointed man and woman could not have kids. They could not have children. Now, for any young woman or young family, young couple, it is so important that they, when they get together, the first thing that they want to do is to show the little Lion King, Simba. Simba, where are you? They want to show their offspring. They want to make sure that people understand that they have been blessed. Certain people characterize blessing or think that blessing is a new car, a big house, a big diamond ring, a Rolex watch. But I can get that somewhere in the city for cheaper as well. Or I've got a cousin that can get it. Things, that's not the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds. Hallelujah. So the children of God knows what the word of God says. The blessing of the Lord. You might not have a house. You might not have children. You might not have a bank account. But you know what? You've got the love of Jesus in your heart. That's all that you need. That's all that you need. But it doesn't end there. The Bible does say, by our fruits we shall be known. Now, do you think that the Bible mentioned and they were both righteous before God just because they were most probably a handsome dude and a sexy young girl? They were both of age, man. Now, I'm not saying anything about anybody here. But you understand, 2 years ago, my muscles was all up here, right? And now as we progress in age, gravity sets in. So this guy, this girl, how old, Uncle Fred, how old was Elizabeth? Anybody knows? About 90. Was she 90? Yeah, she was about 90, yeah. And how old was, well, how old was hubby? Over 100. Now imagine me at 95 looking like this. Sexy dude, man. At 90. And my wife is a couple of years younger because I'm going to die soon, you know. I'm 102. And she's like about 90. And he gets a message like this. They were chosen. Like you are chosen no matter who you are. If you are a child of God this morning, you are chosen with a purpose. Now, Auntie Jen, can I use the two of you this morning? You are my more mature, and I know I can. No. Imagine, and I'm not being facetious here, but imagine at your tender age, 65, I mean, praise God for that. At your tender age, you get a message like this, you're going to have a child.
I've had enough already.
Uncle James, where would you be when you get that message, you're going to have a child?
No, it's a secret.
You're not going to be present. All right. But I know I will not be present. I'll run. I will not have soles on my shoes, but I'll run. I'm going to be, man, on the next jet plane out of here. Not Jetstar, they are striking today. But you're going to be on the plane out there at 85 and 95 and 7. Imagine, my sister, you get a message now. You're going to be pregnant. Lord, help me. All right. My cousin was, she turned 50 the other day, and I phoned her and I said, now, I like to deliver good messages, you know. Hey, Sister Grace, may the Lord bless you with triplets. May he add many. She said, Pastor, this phone has got problems. Bah! When you get messages like that, you want to run. Now, imagine this man. He's there. He's an anointed man of God. He gets a message. You guys are going to have a baby. Says, don't joke around, man. Don't mess with me. I'll hurt you in places you did not know you had places. That's how angry you can get. But you know what? When God ordains something in your life, you don't have a choice. Ask Mary. But the first thing that the Bible says to us, just go on there, Andrew. He says to him, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Friends, if you go through the book of Luke, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read the same portion of scripture, and you can go to Zechariah as well, you read scripture, it will reiterate that same words. Do not be afraid. Because I am God. He says there, I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. Do not be afraid. Child of God, no matter what's going to happen in your life tomorrow, do not be afraid. Because the God that you're serving today is already in tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. I love being, I know New Zealand is a bit ahead of us, but I love being in Australia, because when we phone home, then we can tell the family we've been through the night, all is well. You can go and sleep now, all is well. We've been there, we fought the battles. We've spoken the truth into life. Hallelujah. But I want to say to you this morning, do not be afraid. I do not know what you might be facing, but God is saying to you, my brother, do not be afraid. Things might seem as if the wheels is coming off, but do not be afraid. I am there. Right now, you are sitting in this church. You know why? Because he's holding your hand. You are here with purpose. You are here. Say amen, Susie. Say amen like you mean it. Because you are here with purpose, Sister Brooke. For many of us have been wandering in the desert for a long time. And we're still struggling because our mind. You know, when we accept the Lord, we accept the Lord with our hearts. But seldom we accept the Lord with our mind. We've actually got to accept the Lord with our mind first and then with our hearts. Or maybe just together. Because the problem that we have is we overthink everything. It's time that you just trust God fully. Fully. Now, for the candidates that's going to be baptized this morning, this scripture is going to be very important to you. Either you're going to trust God or you're going to drown. No, Brother Ryan is getting in the water with me because I'm not as strong as I used to be. But it's a matter of do not be afraid. Andrew, can we just go on to the next verse there? I've got one that I just need to throw in there. I think it was, where did I go? I think it was verse 7. Oh, yeah. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. Stop there. Friends, you can be anointed man or woman of God. But sometimes there's just nothing happening in you. Does that mean that you're less spiritual? Does that mean that you are the devil's child? No. Does that mean that you can't lay hands on people? No. Does that mean that you can't minister? No. Does that mean the Sunday when I'm not in church, does that mean that I'm backslidden? Come on, speak to me, man. Thank you. Friends, anointing means anointing. You might have nothing. And for most of you that knows my story over the last couple of months, I had nothing. But does it mean that I was thrown out? No. God loves you no matter what the devil does with you. Because remember, because you anoint the child of God, he will do this with you. He will come and he will remember the story of Job. The Bible says to us, for those of you, anybody knows the book of Job? Oh, three. All right, I'll start teaching from the book of Job next week. The Bible teaches us that Job was an anointed man of God. And the Lord had a meeting with all his angels. And there was one angel that wasn't there, and he came in late, like most of our angels does, you know. Those that's really busy, they come in late. Amen. They come in late, and he asked Lucifer, "Where do you come from?" And he said, now you know who Lucifer was? Yeah? Who he is? Because he's present. He asked him, "Where do you come from?" And he says to the Lord, "I come from roaming the earth." Not that God didn't know. God knows everything. He says, "I come from roaming the earth." And listen to this. I get excited when I read this. He says, the Lord says to Lucifer, "Have you tried my servant?" No. Put your name in there. Put your name in there. He needs to get permission from God to challenge you. Do not be afraid. You know why? Because he says, "But how can I? How can I touch your angel? Because, come on, for those three that knows the book of Job, I cannot touch your servant because you have hedged him in." Now, friends, what does that mean? It means that there's an anointing on your life that not even the devil can penetrate. There's an anointing on your life that not even the devil can penetrate. Wow. I watched a movie not so long ago. I like to watch old movies. And this movie, I can't remember what the name of the movie was. Will Smith, and he was the soldier. He was going to save the earth, and he was going to go and fight this aliens. What's the name of that movie? Independence Day. Anybody watch that movie? Now just listen to the spirituality of this thing. Independence Day. So here these guys go, and they wanna fire these rockets at this spaceship, but you can't see it. And so they fire the rocket, and the rocket bounces off. Pew, nothing doing. Fire another rocket. Pew, nothing doing. You remember that story? Anybody with me? And you know what happens? Anyhow, Will Smith gets into the car with a big cigar and, oh, was it the car or a boat or something? But anyhow, he gets into this thing with a friend, and this friend is the technician, and they go and they penetrate there. I'm paraphrasing the story. I'm making it more mine. And they get into the heart of this thing. And what happens then? You remember? When the rest of the crew came, they fired. Just that couple of minutes, the shields was down. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this story with you this morning, friends, because when God hedges you in, that's the shield you have around you. That no matter what happens, you know what? The devil can fire their darts. We're just going to sway like that. We're going to feel it, but you know what? It's not going to penetrate you. Because God says to you this morning, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am God. But the problem that we have is we don't allow him to really be the God that he can be in our lives. He can be this great majestic God if you allow him to do that. If you take your dirty hands off. If you just take your dirty little paws off and Say, God, you know what? I'm at that place now. I can't do anything. That's when you'll start seeing miracles. That's when you start seeing miracles. Who came this morning expecting to get a word from God, expecting a miracle word from God? Only seven. Only one this side. You guys are all right. Oh, two this side. Thank you, my brother. I want to say to you this morning, God wants to challenge us on our belief. God wants to challenge us on our faith. Because it's important, my friends, if we walk out here, especially in this time that we're living in this festive time, God wants us, when we walk out here, that we stand tall. That we, people will, you don't have to stand on a soapbox to tell them that you're a child of God. People want to see your life. When you walk out there, people must know that you are a child of God. When you walk into the airport, my brother, my sister, people will know, man, there's something different about them. I remember that day when we had to get on the plane, there was like 200 people at the airport to come and see us off. I think 150 were there to make sure we're going. The 50 was our family that was crying. The security at the airport asked. The security at the airport, we were going through the customs. The security asked, "Who are you?" I'm thinking, there's thousands of people. You come and ask me, who am I? Why? I was going to go the other route, but I thought, nah, I'm not going to give him that pleasure. But why would they come and ask me? I said, who, me? You want to know who I am? I'm nobody, man. And then one of my friends over there jumped and he said, "Pastor, we're going to miss you." And I'm thinking, he says, "Oh, man of God." I go, okay, what's happening now? He wants to take my bags. I said, "Yes, I am. He's taking my bags. And from there, I want to tell you, man, it started happening. We were overweight. And my sister over there can tell me what happens with pastors that's overweight. And you know what? We put our bags on and the lady says, "Don't worry, it's pastors. Presence. Anointing." No. When we walk over there, there's no special shop for pastors. There's no special shop for anointed child of God. Do you have a special shop? When you walk in, they say, "Oh, Sister Mary is here, child of God." It's 50% less. We don't have that. But our presence speaks volumes. Allow the anointing over your life to speak on your behalf without me saying a word. That's God. Now, Pastor, how can it be so real in your life? And I'm still struggling. Who's there this morning? Who's saying, "Pastor, I'm still struggling. Friends, I want to say to you, it doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that you're not praying enough. It doesn't mean that you're not giving enough. It's God's timing. God will be God in your life as He sees fit to be. All that you must be, and listen to this, and I've got to close with this. All that God wants us to be, my friends, come on, and I need the spirituality to come out now. What does God require of you to be? There's have faith, obedience, ourselves, ready, humble, obedient to Him. Now, we all said what we believe God wants you to be. Amen? God wants us to be faithful. To be obedient, because the Bible says obedience is better than? Oh, yeah. Friends, are you excited about who you are today? Sister Mary said it so aptly. Say it again. Just be yourself. Be yourself. When you read the Word of God, be yourself. Read the Word of God for the Word of God. Not to satisfy your situation, for the Word of God. your situation. The Bible teaches us so many things, and one of the things he says is that we, what is the scripture that says, seek ye, amen. It's a very deep scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I will give you a gold card. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that anointing, that hedging in, and the rest will follow. I'm closing with this, friends. Over the next couple of days, Christmas is how many days away? 10 days away. Over the next couple of days, some of us are excited about the period that we're going in, where we're going to, you know, be celebrating with friends and family, and other people are stressed. There's people that stress out there, not knowing where the next meal is coming from. Not knowing, and I don't want to play on your emotion here. I'm just telling the truth as the Spirit of God lays on my heart, okay? There's people out there that's really stressed about how they're going to get through this period. After every service, at the end of the service, I've got a mantra, a thing that I say, Uncle Jeff. You remember what I say at the end of every service? Go out there and look for an opportunity to make a difference. Now this year, unfortunately, I haven't been out there much, so I don't know of too many. I know of a few people that's struggling, but I know you know of somebody. You don't need to mention their names. Now I just want to stop here and say to you, if you want to be a blessing to somebody, if you want to be a blessing to somebody, may that blessing be anonymous. Do not come and give Uncle James this bongo drums and write it in lights. Do not come and bless somebody with a turkey or a roasted chicken or a loaf of bread or whatever God is laying on our hearts even now to bless somebody with. And speak about it. Ever. Because then it's not a blessing. If you want God to bless you, you do it and you move on. Uncle James, what is our philosophy when people start saying what? When people start thinking us, what do? We run. Because we don't take that blessing for us. If people start thinking you, you run. When you bless somebody, when you want that anointing, then you allow that blessing to be. You just pass it on and you move on. Pass it on, move on. Remember this one thing. If you forget everything I say this morning, remember this one thing. The reason for the blessing is for the overflow. If God is blessing you, allow it to go. Allow it to go. You will never run dry. The reason why God blessed them after so many years, because they remained faithful. And then God does one thing more. He keeps them quiet. He says to him, you will be mute. You will not speak about this. Hallelujah. Did you think I lost my track there? Wow. I'm on fire, man. You can go and read that last portion of scripture there. He says to him, and you will be mute. You will not speak about it. You will not tell anybody. You know why? Because when God blesses you, man, sometimes we want to just live it. Live it. May the Lord bless you as you continue to worship him. Now, friends, I just want to do something different this morning. Rebecca, don't you just want to play something there? That other number. I want to pray for you this morning. I don't know who you are.